have your Bibles this morning, and we're going to look in Proverbs, and we're going to begin in verse 30 and 31. So, we've been talking about fearing God. We know that that's not a natural thing that we're born with, is to fear God. We know that He exists, it says, and we're without excuse because He created all things. And in that, in creating all things, there's a void left in our life that keeps us at unrest. Men are naturally born at unrest. We talked a little bit about it last week, that there's something within us that God leaves out in this natural state that only He can feel. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about that fearing God and the practical applications of that fear. It's amazing how much the Bible talks about fearing Him, and He expects us to fear Him. And I'm not picking on anyone this morning. It's a very touchy subject. We're going to talk about women for a little bit. Women are deceitful creatures. They have charm and beauty, and they can lead a man astray in a heartbeat. And so we have to be very careful and guard ourselves against this evil that that has been created through the life of Eve, who deceived Adam, and therefore we're in... Oh, look at the looks on our faces. I wish you guys could see what I'm seeing right now. Just hear me out, okay? but it's a very touchy subject when you start talking about women. In our world today, we have women domination. God never expected women to be presidents of the United States or vice presidents. He never expected them to be presidents of CEOs. He never made them to be rulers of the house. He gave them specifically as a helpmate. Matter of fact, Scripture goes on to say that man was made for God. Women were not made for God. Men were made for God. Whether you like it or not, Scripture backs this up, and it says women were made for man. And that is the order. That's the hierarchy. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a value that's attained to man that's better than woman. It doesn't have anything to do with equality. It's a matter of God's order. And the moment we leave God's order, then you can actually see what we have now. The family is destroyed. The mom's not home to take care of the kids. Kids don't have that upbringing. Kids are allowed, we allow the computers and we allow technology to raise our kids. And then we wonder why we're in the situation that we're in, and it's because we have left that order that God has set forth. Charm is, I'm going to back up everything I said. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Huh? Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. You know, all this talk that you're talking about, and you hear all these men that fall because of the sexual harassments and things like that when women come to work with their cleavage showing, their skirts up to their behinds. Our teenagers dress like this. It's deceitful. Beauty's vain. He's trying to teach us something, and it's a trap. Look at the rest of Proverbs, and it says that how it's as sweet as honey, and yet it becomes bitter. That the sting of it and the entrapment of that. Why is that? Because of the next verse. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. To find women that fear God. When the women fears God, they'll submit themselves to their husbands. As this instruction says for them. When they fear God, they'll be a helpmate to their husband. When they fear God, they will praise and worship Him and know that it's through that fear that they come to the saving knowledge of who He is. Remember where wisdom comes from? Remember where knowledge comes from? It's fear of God. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We've talked about all of these things. So when she fears God, then she will be in the proper position that God put her in. You know why women don't fear God today? It's because they don't have husbands and men that fear God. Men are not head of the households anymore. Men have allowed the woman to take over because the men are lazy. Men have no backbone. Men have become so apathetic in the world today, and they don't fear God. So if that fear of God doesn't come from the spiritual leader of the household, which is supposed to be the man. Matter of fact, Scripture says if a woman wants to know something spiritual, she's supposed to go ask her husband. And it's sad that a lot of women can't do that. It's so sad that a lot of the men sit home and I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know why they become so apathetic and callous to the Word of God that they think that they can allow the woman to do the duties which God set forth for the man. And when the woman has to take over those duties, the children don't see that authority figure in the home. We have men that are raised by nothing but women, with women ideas and women purposes and women emotions and hormones and all that kind of stuff, and they don't even know what it looks like to be a man. Men are to teach boys to be men. I can back that up in Scripture. It tells in Scriptures that we are supposed to teach our men to be men. And we're to take on the responsibilities of providing for our families. We're the ones that's supposed to be out there working. We're the ones that's supposed to set the tone for the home, not the woman. Do you know how many pastors' ministries have been destroyed because their wife doesn't fear God? They become that place of being a pastor's wife, and all of a sudden they think they have some type of authority and they can be nasty and do whatever they want to do because they don't fear God, and the man allows the woman to dictate what goes on in the church. Jesus Christ is the only one that dictates what goes on in this church. The wife will never do it. I will never do it. But it's Jesus Christ who is the head of the church, and God is the head of Jesus Christ. If we don't get back to the order that God set forth, nothing in this world is going to change. Matter of fact, it's going to get a lot worse. The woman domination is going to continue on, and eventually the men will be a slave to the aspirations of the women. Men will not stand up and say this is wrong. It's wrong according to Scripture, not wrong according to what I think. We have lost the order of God, and therefore we are suffering the consequences thereof, and the children and the next generations are suffering the consequences when the mom is not there to nurture them and protect them. It's sad. But the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. We begin in verse 9. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? Again, remember Ecclesiastes was written by the wisest man. God had given Solomon wisdom. But even in that wisdom, there were some fallacies for Solomon. We know what his downfall was, and it was women. I'm not joking. It says he loved women. He loved foreign women. And these foreign women brought in different doctrines. And him wanting to please his woman instead of pleasing God faltered and allowed the false gods to come in to the nation of Israel. I'm just telling you what it says. What profit is there to the worker from which he toils? I have seen the tasks which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. What you have to understand is there are certain things that have been set into place from a physical point that God has put in place. Reproduction is one of those things. That's how we continue on our generation, is we're to reproduce. Sometimes I asked when I was raising my kids, I would turn to Terry and we reproduced. Why? But that was a commandment of God, is to do that. I can decide to brush my teeth or not brush my teeth. If I brush my teeth, they hopefully will stay in there longer. I can decide how much I eat. See, God is not in any of that. These are things that God sets forth that keep us busy about ourselves. I can decide to go to the football game or not go to the football game. I can decide to put a saving account aside or not to put a saving account aside. I mean, really, folks, I mean, there are certain things that God has just put into place in nature that we are put there because God put this there to occupy us. And we get very busy about it. And some of those things become so important to us that we forget that there is a God and that we're to fear Him. He goes on to say, He has made everything appropriate in His time. He has also set eternity in the heart. So you see, that's that void that I was talking to you about earlier, is that there's just something missing in our nature that we're born with. And that's the presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit. We're born spiritually dead in our trespasses, so that being that we were originally created, we were a spiritual being. As He breathed into our nostrils life, we became a spiritual being that had fellowship with God, and we lost that when sin came into the world and we died. Not only will we die physically, but we die spiritually. And that is that eternity has been set in every man's heart that is born. There's that void that's there that we must fill it with something, and we can occupy it with all of these things. How important is hunting and fishing and sowing? I don't know what women do. Read books or, I don't know, all the stuff that you guys like to do. Make flower things and things. I don't know. But how important are those things to you? See, when we've got to fill it with something, we're at unrest. There's no peace in our life because of the void that He has set, that eternity that He has set in each man's heart is there. There's something. Here's an interesting thing that he writes next. Yet so man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. So the point is, if we focus on all of these things, and this is where religion has stemmed from. See, religion is the things that we do for God when that relationship is what God has done for us. So religion, we become very, very active. We become so burdened with doing good that we ourselves are not good. See, religion says we go on mission trips and we go to the food bank and we build Habitat for Humanity. We do all these wonderful, beautiful humanitarian things, and there's nothing wrong with humanitarian things, but the point of this is that when we're so busy doing those, we don't find out what God's doing. We don't understand why Jesus came. It's because of sin. And there's a wrath coming, and God doesn't want to see, He doesn't find any pleasure in anyone dying in their iniquity. But He's slow about His coming so that all men would come to repentance. See, we get so busy that we're not careful. We don't know what God's actually doing. If we don't take time to listen, we don't take time to spend time with Him in Holy Scripture that's alive, that can tell us and convict us of our sin and correct us when we're wrong and give us the right attitude and the right mind and the right heart through the instrument of the Holy Spirit that He left with us as a helper. But we get so busy. There's so many things that are so important. When the ministry becomes more important than the people that you're ministering, there's a problem. There are so many focusing on their ministry being so perfect and that the service just go without a hitch. And we work so hard to make all these things happen that we forget that none of it matters if we don't know what God's doing. Don't be so busy in your life that you forget what he's doing. He says that you're his workmanship. And he'll always finish the good work that he starts in you if you let him. He goes on to say, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. And that's what we do. That's what we fill this with, is that how many people, I want to make a dent in life. I want, when I'm gone, I want my legacy to be left. I want people to remember what I've done. And in funerals, I tell people that really the legacy is how you've affected the people that are around you. That's the only thing that remains. That's got any worth in it. And if it's void of God and it's void of you being a person that's been made by God, then that influence that you've had on folks is in vain as well. See, what Solomon learned is that everything that is important to man is in vain. Because there's an eternity coming. There's a life after this life that lasts forever. And so all the toils and all the things that we think are so important. Look at all the things that we put before God. Did you know that you could put your children before God? And he might take them away. Do we not fear God and knowing that he instructs us in that way? Be careful what you put before him. This is what Solomon's trying to get us to look at, is that we're so busy and we want to make that impact in life, but I want to make an impact in eternity. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor, it's a gift from God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there's nothing to take from it. We've got to be careful. Be careful what you tell people about God. Be careful when you say, well, this is what I believe about God. Run from those people. Because when God reveals himself and his truth to you, you'll be able to say, this is what God says. It doesn't matter what if I believe it or not. So we base too much on what we believe instead of the truth of the scripture. See, we become so comfortable with religion that allows us to choose a religion and allows us to choose a belief, a doctrine, that we're comfortable with. Folks, it's just, this is what God says, and thus saith the Lord. It's not based on whether you believe it or not. Okay? It's not based on us. Here's what he said, and that's what you need to tell folks. But what do you think about this? It doesn't matter what I think about this. It matters what God says about this, and let me share that with you. Please do not tell people, well, this is what I believe the Scripture says, because then you don't know what the Scripture says yet. You will not say, I believe this is what it says. This is what God says. Keep your belief out of it. People don't need to know what you believe. People need to told what you were told to believe. And there's a big difference in you coming up with your own belief system versus you believing what God tells you to believe. Is nothing to add to it, nothing to take. You better read Revelations. He wrote the Word of God. We don't need another book written. This is the only one that will speak to the heart of man. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. There is no book written by man that can enter the depths of the heart of man. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away from it, or the plagues of this book will be added to you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you better be careful what you teach. You better have a fear of God in you. All you teachers out there, you better have a fear of God in you. You better not utter one thing out of your mouth till you know that's what God told you. We don't care what you think it says. We want to know what it says. That's why it says not everyone should be a teacher. You're going to incur a stricter judgment because of what you tell people. Because people are lazy. We are inherently lazy and we want to be spoon-fed and we don't want to dig into this ourselves and we want some preacher or some teacher to stand up and tell us what it says. Scripture says you need no man to teach you. Huh? Sunday school is important. You know why Sunday school is important? Because the church is learning the same thing at the same time and growing together. And why some of us think that Sunday school isn't important and our jobs are important, I don't understand that. If we're going to be a body and we're going to do and become the church that God wants us to become, then we all need to learn together. I could care less whether the sound works good. I could care less if the lights are on. I don't need all of that to preach the Word of God. I don't need the heat on. I don't need the air conditioner on. I don't need padded pews. I don't need a band up here. I don't need the strobe lights. I don't need none of that stuff. And neither does God. We get so thinking that what we're doing for God is so important that we forgot that what He's doing for us is the only thing that's important. And if God's not doing something for you and to you and in you, then you don't have the relationship that the Scripture talks about. See, we have to feel that emptiness that the Scripture spoke of earlier, that void, that eternity in the heart. We have to fill it with something. And so how the Satan comes in, deceives us to think if we do all these things and just make it all pretty for ourselves, that somehow God is pleased with that. God's not pleased with any of this. God's not pleased with a beautiful voice up here that sings with the wrong heart. The only reason I'm up here is because I sing from the heart with the joy, and I know it doesn't sound that good. But you know what? I really don't care what you think. I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for Him. And my heart, I hope, is in jubilee when I step in here that I got to sing from the top of my voice because you know what? I realize what He's done for me. And the problem is in our churches that no one realizes because all they have is religion and they don't realize what they've been saved from and what they've been released from and what they've been cleansed from. So they come in here lackadaisical just with any, just flippity. And that's what religion does. It takes away from the holiness of God, the respect for God, and gives you a false Jesus that's leading you to hell. And here it says, there's nothing to add, nothing to take away. God has so worked that men should fear Him. So God's directed all of this so that you would fear Him. Look at Ecclesiastes 7. '15 to 18. He goes on to say, I have seen everything during my lifetime of futility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in wickedness. I've seen it. There are some righteous people. I mean, there are righteous people. It's not God's righteousness, but there are some people that do obey the law. They're good people in the sense of what the world calls good. They're not good in the sense that God calls good, because God said there's no one good. There's no not one. There's no one that seeks after me. That we all have an evil, depraved heart from our youth. That we're born in iniquity, dead in trespasses of sin. We've already talked about that. So understand that there's a righteousness that the world looks at. There's a self-righteousness that we have, that we pat ourselves on the back and think that we're good. But that's not how God sees us. Do not be excessively righteous, and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? I've always told people, you can be so heavenly minded that you're earthly no good. You hear what I said? You're so heavenly minded that you're earthly no good. Because heavenly mind doesn't have a heart that directs the mind. So what happened is a self-righteousness, and this is religion again put out there for you guys. Religious people are very arrogant. They're very condemning. They always choose certain sins, and basically not their own, that they want to talk about. Huh? See, if it's just the mind that's righteous and not the heart made righteous by God, then you can become a slave to that righteousness, and all you want to do is mouth off about how everybody else and how the world's going to hell in a handbag and all that kind of stuff. I don't think we get it, folks. I don't think we understand what God wrote about this. The righteousness comes from the heart. Christ died and became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And our flesh is supposed to be that example, because that flesh has been killed. That flesh has been buried upon the cross. That sin that we were born with is gone in the reality of it. But we don't see that, because we don't practice the scriptures. Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? See, a lot of times we see good people die, when in our mind, good people, they go to church, they're active in church, but you know, they may be lost, and they may be wicked in God's eyes, and God kills them. See, there should be a fear of God in our life. I don't have to show God or show you. It ought to come out of me, out of a nature, the natural nature that I am now, that I have the nature of God in me. And I would allow that new nature to kill the old nature through the Holy Spirit. Then that new nature of God is exuded through my actions and my speech, and the compassion that I have for those that are lost. It is good for you that you grasp one thing and also not let the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. He's talking about wisdom and knowledge. Okay? You can't have one without the other. If you only have the wisdom of God but no knowledge, it doesn't benefit you. If you have the knowledge but no wisdom on how to use that knowledge, it's all vanity. So you don't strive for just the knowledge. And that's what a lot of people do, is they want the knowledge. You know, I don't care how many kings there are in Judah. I could care less how many kings are in Judah. Okay? I could care less how many books are in the Bible. I could care less on where that passage of Scripture's at. That's knowledge. The wisdom is that passage of Scripture written on my heart so I don't have to remember it? And Holy Spirit, I rely on Him to bring it up to me when I need it. Because that's what He says He'll do if we trust Him. But see, when we become so arrogant in our own religious life, we'll remember the Scriptures. We'll get all these facts out there, and we'll just impress everybody with our knowledge. But there's no fear in that knowledge, and there's no wisdom in that knowledge. Because the wisdom that God gives me is that I'm an undone man, and I'm destined to hell, and there's nothing I can do about it. And it's only by His grace and mercy that He sends His only Son to die upon a cross, and that I might become the righteousness of God. I become a new creature. You see, it's that wisdom. It's that knowledge, not how many books there are in the Bible. That doesn't do anybody any good. Knowledge doesn't do anybody about the Bible any good. History doesn't do any good if you don't have the fear of God and the wisdom and knowledge to be able to use what He's written in Scripture. He wrote the Scripture so you wouldn't make the same spiritual mistakes that they made. He wrote that. And guess what we're doing? Huh? We're making the same spiritual mistakes. We have forgotten that God is holy. We have forgotten the order that God has set forth for man and women. We have forgotten to fear Him. We have forgotten to practice His and be obedient to His laws. I don't keep His laws to get saved. I keep His laws because I am saved. Let's look at Acts 9:27-31. I mean, we got to grasp this fear thing, folks. If you're leading your life in any aspect without fearing God, you don't have the relationship that Scripture talks about. But Barnabas took hold of him, talking about Paul, and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of Jesus. Here's a man that was killing and crucifying, imprisoning anyone that would speak the name of Jesus. And then, guess what? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God blinded him to open his eyes. Who are you, Lord, that I'm persecuting you? And it was the word of God that set him straight. It's only the Word of God that can set you straight. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He left the Word of God written. It's all the same Word. There's no difference in the Word that was there before the creation of the world. There's no difference in the Word that was helped to create the world. There's no difference in the Word that became flesh. There's no difference in the Word that was crucified. There's no difference in the Word that ascended back into heaven. There's no difference in the Word that was written in the pages through the Holy Spirit. It's all the same Word. Paul received that Word. He repented of his sins. He repented of his life. He had a direct turnaround. And he began to speak out boldly about the very thing he was crucifying. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. Let's get this guy out of here. He's causing too much trouble right now. Paul was a very zealous guy. See, he had a zeal for God, but it was misdirected. He never lost that zeal, and when he became saved and he began to understand all the truths of God, he couldn't keep it in. He started going around and arguing with folks and that kind of stuff, and they just kind of, hey, you need to go away for a while. God's still got to mature you up a little bit before you're called for the purpose. So it said after that, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up. What'd they do? Going on in the fear of the Lord. That's how we're to live our life, is to go on, and the church is supposed to go on in the fear of the Lord. There's no way the Methodist Church has any fear of God. They split over this LGBT stuff. Open up the pages of God and see what He says about it. Thus saith the Lord, we're not discussing this anymore. Those are not of us, leave. Don't make another church. We don't need more churches, folks. The last thing this world needs is more churches. And I put that in parentheses. What this world needs is to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is only one church. So we're going to split off and make another church teaching false doctrine because people are have become so comfortable they can believe whatever they want to believe and have a relationship with God. You can't believe what you want to believe and have a relationship with God. But they went on in the fear of the Lord and then in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And only then did it increase. All the stuff and material I get on how to make the church grow. And not in single one of those pamphlets does it say, continue on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Folks, if we want this church to grow, we better learn to fear Him. And when we learn to fear Him, we'll enjoy the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about just part of the members. I'm talking about everyone that comes. We've got to be in one accord. We can't have some that think Sunday school is important and some that don't think it's important. We can't think that the Word of God doesn't mean anything, that you reach a point in your life that you don't need instruction. That's a sad part of a Christian life, is when someone reaches a point that they think they don't no longer need instruction. You know what we learned in Sunday school this morning? That He says, Jesus prayed, I'm so thankful that You hid all the truths from the wise and the intelligent. That you let the babes know, that the infants know, that the mature, the people that had a heart that would believe the truth. And then we learned that He kept some people from even understanding Scripture. God Himself prevented folks from understanding it. See, it's all kind of stuff we learn. And on Wednesday night, we learn stuff. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not one of these preachers going to force you to do it, but I'm telling you're missing out, and I'm telling you're hurting the church. The other night, I was doing something, and I caught my toenail or something, and it was dark in the bathroom. I didn't even know, and I woke up the next morning, there's blood all over the bathroom. I tore my toenail off of there, and I didn't even know it. So it's like, what? Do you know how that affected my body? A stinking toenail affected my body. It was sore. It hurt. Couldn't put on my shoe right. It altered how I walked. And we somehow think that we can come together any way that we want. And we think that's pleasing to God. Well, I think we have another thing coming. We don't fear Him. And until we fear Him and practice that fear and we come together in one accord, we'll never be the church that God wants us to be. I told you I will never do any gimmick that man comes along. When people come to this church, it's going to be because they're led here by the Holy Spirit. It will not be because of anything that I offer. I don't want people here because of the humanitarian efforts that we do. I want people here because they're hungry for the Word of God. And they continue in the fear of God. And they want to learn. They want to know. They want to not sin against God. They want to be fulfilled. Now all those good deeds we'll do automatically. See, it's not that we get together and decide we're going to do something good today. But it's wherever you're at, I expect this church, you that are born again, wherever you're at, to be ready in season and out of season to share why you have hope to this lost and dying world. And I don't care if they ever come to this church. What I care about is they come to the saving knowledge of who Christ is. I don't care about building this church. I don't care about filling these pews. I care about the ones that are sitting here, that you grow and that you know who you are. And you let that religion, because when you've been religious your whole life, it's hard to stop being religious because it's comfortable for you. This will be very uncomfortable for you. I got to preach longer because we didn't have a spiritual food for thought, because there are people that just won't listen to God in their quiet time and share what God's doing in your life, which tells me you may not be having quiet time. Because I tell you, when God tells you something, you're going to want to share it with the body. Because there's somebody here that needs to hear what he has told you that week. I'm not here to spoon feed you. At some point in our church, we have to be proud and we have to be confident who God is in us. That we can stand up before brothers and sisters and share what God's doing in your life. And my fear is God's not doing anything in your life and you're going to die and go to hell. I know that sounds bad, doesn't it? But I just want to be honest with you this morning. That if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. And that comes from Scripture.